We walk through John 9 just a moment, and just want to read it. And Austin, I'm a little hot, please, if you turn me down just a little bit. So as you go to John 9, Jesus, in John 8, at the end of John 8, Jesus just walked away from a confrontation that he had with the leaders and people. He just walked away from this confrontation that they were getting ready to stone him, okay? They're getting ready to stone him. They're talking about his legitimacy. They're talking about all this stuff. And Jesus is saying, tell him the truth, that he is the light and all this stuff, that he came from heaven and he is the I am. And they grab these stones. They're going to grab these stones and they're going to stone him. And it says that afterwards, in the Passion Translation, it says afterwards, but in on John 9, it says he just walked away. It says he just walked away. Now listen to this. And it says, now, as Jesus passed by. So after this confrontation goes on, and Jesus just walks away from the stoning. He just walks away from it. Amazing. Amazing God could, Jesus could just walk away, right? Nope, they couldn't touch him. And so then it says, Passion Translation says, afterwards, after this moment, or the New King James says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We heard that this morning, right? You are the light of the world because he's not in the world, but the Holy Spirit is in you. Now you are the light of the world, right? You're supposed to shine the goodness of the Lord that is inside of you. It says, verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay. He's still talking to this blind man's hollering out, okay? He spat on the ground and he made clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Right, I'm going to go back to it. And he said these things, and he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. He said, go now. He sent him away. Go wash. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. How many would be so ecstatic if he was blind from birth? That's all. I mean, I don't know how old he is. He's probably 30 years old. He's blind from birth. How ecstatic would you be if this guy comes by, picks up this clay, spits in it, rubs it on your eyes, and you're hearing spit because if you're blind, you're really attuned to hearing, right? Your hearing is your eyes. So you would have heard this guy go, what is this guy doing? You know, you'd be freaked out. And he rubs it and he puts it in his eyes, okay? He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then it says that the blind man came back seeing. How ecstatic would you be? You've never seen before in your life. You've never seen light before in your life. You've never seen trees. You've never seen any people or anything. How ecstatic would you be? Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this the blind, or is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. I'm the guy. Anybody have a past life? Are you still the same as you was before? Does anybody question that you are different? Does anybody say, man, I thought I knew you, Jerry. Man, you're so different. I don't know if this is Jerry or not. Right? He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He asked, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I did what he said, right? It says, so I went, I lost my place. 11. And he answered and said, okay, I'm just going to read on. And so And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? Where is he? He says, I don't know. I just know that he spat in this clay. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam, he anointed my eyes, he told me to go and wash. I did, and now I see. I don't know. I don't know where he's at. Goes on to verse 13. Then they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Wow. What are they thinking, I wonder? Now it was a Sabbath. They're always thinking about rules, right? Religious people always thinking about rules. Always thinking about rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can only do this. You can only do this much of it. Or you can do nothing at all. Or you're not going to be loved by God. Or you're not accepted by God. Or whatever it is. It's this religious thing. I hope you are not all religious. Are you guys religious?
No.
Absolutely not. We're believers and sons and citizens of the kingdom of God. Right? We are co-heirs with him. So now he says in 14, or is that 14? Yeah. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Pretty simple. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, he can... Or how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. How many know that there's division among people in churches and all across the United States and all across the world, that there is a division on doctrine. There's a division on all kinds of stuff. Some things there's a hill to die on. Some things there's not a hill to die on. And, you know, it doesn't matter on certain things, but there are certain things that it stands on everything. You stand on it with a full assurance that foundation is true and elect. It is the right thing that you'll stand on it until you die. But there are some things that, you know what, it doesn't matter. Baptism, it doesn't matter. Okay? I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter. You say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you say name of Jesus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you sprinkle or you dip. It doesn't matter. It's not a hill to die on. Okay? Pharisees and religious people will make those things a hill to die on. They will make those things like, it's stringent. You can only do it this way. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, God is so graceful. But there are some things that you got to stand on that you do not waver. You do not budge. You do not move. It is the cornerstone that I stand on. Right? It's got to be that cornerstone that we stand on. We got to know who we are and where we stand. Amen? All right. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They never knew he had been blind. They'd seen him. They knew he was a beggar. They walked by him at the gate. They knew this guy was a beggar. And they just wanted to ignore it. And they asked him, saying again, is this your son? So they asked the family, so they must have knew him, right? They must have knew who he was. They said, is this your son? I keep losing myself. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Who you say was born blind? How then does he see? And his parents answered, so they must have knew him. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Nobody wanted to be out of the church. Nobody wanted to be put out. It'd be like me kicking Tabitha out of the church. She didn't want to be kicked out of the church. She wants to be part of the church, right? To be continued. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Yeah. Now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. How come many people got to hear it five times? Why is that? Our children got to hear it five times before they do anything, right? Until you crack them. You crack them a couple times, and they hear that one time. They get that look. Dad would crack you. He'd know. You knew. You got the look. You just straightened up. But here we are. The religious people had to hear it multiple times. Multiple times. I keep losing myself. 27. He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Like, come on. Do you want to be his disciples? This guy is excited. I can see. I can see, Wes. That's an awesome thing. I ain't never seen before, and I can see. I don't know if that guy's a sinner. I don't know who he is, but all I know is he anointed my eyes. I was blind before, and now I can see. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to Rapha, Almighty God. Oh, what a marvelous thing. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. They just had a conversation. This group just had a conversation a chapter ago. Okay? They just had this conversation not too long ago who he was. And they were against him. They were against him. Then the man answered and said to them, Why this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. He has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of anyone open the eyes of one who was born blind. Listen to that. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Did you guys catch that? That's a powerful statement. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do nothing. Let's just stop there a second. I ain't got no notes. I just read, all right? So, get this. Man born blind. It's unheard of anybody open the blind eyes of someone that has been born blind. Unheard of. If he was a sinner, there's absolutely no way he could open the eyes. Because God does not hear sinners. Are you guys believers in Christ? Are you guys sinners? You are? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not a sinner. You're saved by grace. You have a new identity, and your old nature has died. Your sinful nature has died. You arose again to new. You are not a sinner no more. You might make mistakes, but you ain't a sinner. You don't continue to live in the old thing over and over and over and over. Satan has no power to resurrect the old man that died. Absolutely no power of resurrection. There's only one person that has power of resurrection. That is the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, right, and the Son. That's the only ones that have the power and an anointing to raise the dead. Who lives inside of you? The power of the Trinity lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. You have the power to raise the dead. They question his authority and who he is. In the Talmud, it says, and we've talked about this before, that this is one of the four messianic miracles that Jesus would, that the Messiah would perform. They didn't know who put a name to him, but this is one of the four that he would heal a blind man from birth. And says that they had healing in the spittle of a firstborn son. So Jesus spits in the clay as the firstborn son of God, right? There was healing in the spittle of the firstborn son. He spits in the clay, he anoints the eyes, and the guy can see because he works in the pool of Siloam, because he was obedient to the word of God. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin." Get this. Okay, we're gonna clarify some things. All right? So each one of us, from our little children to the ones that just came out of the womb, are sin. They're living in sin, right? They're a sin nature. You do not teach a young child to lie. Do you? Has any of your children lied to you? Why is that? It's the fallen nature. Okay? It's the fallen nature. Your spirit is dead. You got me? When you're born, your spirit is dead. Your old nature. You're living in this old nature, this old Adam nature, because we were born in this curse. Now that I've accepted Christ, he's my Savior. I had died my old nature. My sin is now born again and resurrected to life. My spirit is alive right now. Because why? Because the Spirit of God lives within me. He has breathed in me. He has set me on fire. There should be a joy because he set me on fire. So no, you're not a sinner. I ain't a sinner. I make mistakes occasionally, but I repent for those things and I don't continue to live in those things. A sinner has no knowledge of those things. A sinner has no knowledge that he's in sin. If you talk to anyone that is not, that their spirit is dead, you know, they don't have no clue. They don't know what conviction is. They have no clue. But now that you are born again and you are born in the kingdom of God, you have a clue. Now, it's only flesh. The desires of the flesh, are you going to fulfill those things? So when we say die, when we say you need to die, you need to have your flesh die. Because see, your body, your flesh is what you're feeling the desire. So people with this pornography addiction that deal with pornography or sexual lust or whatever, it's a flesh thing. It's a flesh thing, and that's all it is. And you can kill that by abstaining from it. Kill the flesh over and over. The only way the enemy can attack you is through the flesh, through the desires of your heart. Okay, that's the only way the enemy can come up against you. There's no other way the enemy can come up against you except through your flesh, because you are a born again, sanctified individual born into Christ. You're a new creation. There is absolutely no avenue he has to get into you except through the flesh. And he can tempt you and tempt you and tempt you all he wants. Until you give into the flesh, he has no power over you. The only time he has power over you is when you give into the flesh. When you give into those lustful desires. When you get into those desires, we could say overeating. Oh, you know, I'm hungry. I need to go eat that apple pie, right? That apple pie that's sitting over there that I know I should not eat because maybe I'm a diabetic because I've been eating too much sugar. But I'm going to sustain from that, right? Because my flesh wants it. My body, my taste buds want it. But I choose to stay away from it. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. That old nature is dead, and I'm alive in him. And my new nature is alive. That's not even where I'm going today. This is only supposed to be 30 minutes. Okay. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin, and you are teaching us." Teaching us. He's talking about the bottom. And they cast him out. This guy that was born blind, never knew Christ, no, old nature. I was blind physically, but now I see. Jesus comes along and tells them they were spiritually blind. And anyway, here we go. Let's go on. We're about done. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. They got rid of him because they didn't want to hear a word he had to say. He's blind. They have no answer because he's blind and now he sees. They think Christ is a demonic individual. But now he's saying if he's got sin in him, how did God hear him? But if God heard him and now I can see, he must be of God. Get out of here. He said, get out of here. You get out of our synagogue. You have no right to be in here. Because he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He hasn't even asked this blind man if he even believed in God. He never even asked him. He just said, anointed his eyes. "Hey, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Receive your sight." He didn't even say that in the Bible. He didn't even say that. He said, "Just go wash in the pool." He just does it. Now he's saying, okay, let's teach you this. Do you believe in the Son of God? He has no clue. But you know what? Here's what I do know. That if his ears were his eyes, he's heard a lot of stuff going on in Galilee. He's heard a lot of stuff going on in Jerusalem. He's heard a lot of stuff. And man, he's taking it all in because he's sensitive to the voices. He's sensitive to the noises. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Because I want to believe. I want to know. He didn't have a clue. And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he began, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sins remain." Powerful. When you read the Word of God, begin to dive into it. Begin to dive into it. That's the opening. That's the scripture today. I got a question for you. There's a couple people who know the answer. The question is, if you could go on vacation, you got all expenses paid vacation, and you could take anybody and everybody you wanted to go, who would you take? It's all paid for. You can take anybody. Who would you take, Wes? You'd take her. Who would you take, Bernie? Jerry? Sonny? You could take anybody and everybody. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. Who would you take? Anybody and everybody. Who would you take, Dad? Anybody and everybody could go. All expenses paid for. You don't have to pay nothing. Anybody and everybody. Who would you take? Today's title of the message is evangelism. Today's title of the message is evangelism. Would you only just take your wife? Heaven or hell, eternity forever. It's all paid for through the blood of Christ. Heaven or hell, eternity forever. It's all paid for the blood of Christ. Who are you taking? Who are you taking with you? You only taking your wife? You only taking your husband? You only taking your family? Or are you taking everybody? It's paid for. Nothing you have to do. It's eternity forever. It's not a vacation, but it is eternity in the kingdom of God. Anybody and everybody you can take, and who have you asked to go on vacation with you? I brought this to my wife, and she said the same thing you guys said. I said, "You can only take your family?" She didn't know this what I was going, where I was going. Huh? You wasn't even included. Not at all. The Yahwehs were, I never heard Yahweh in my ears. Never did. Yah-yahs. Yahwehs. Yah-yahs. Yahweh. What's that song? There's a song called Yahweh. Anybody know that song? Yahweh, huh? I think it is. Yeah. Christian song. Makes you think, doesn't it? We are so centrally focused on ourselves. What's the word for that? Self-centered. Self-indulged. That only think about me and my surroundings. Last night, I looked down Wabash Avenue and I seen car after car after car after car. People on the streets. Light them up. Light them up. Pouring water out on the road. Smoking tires and burning smoke. And things are rolling. There was one guy on this motorbike, playing. The first thing, it was so loud, I couldn't hardly hear. I don't know if you guys heard him or not. But the song that I heard him say was Pray, Pray, Pray. I don't even know if that's a Christian song. But I think he was evangelizing, going down the road, just so loud I couldn't hardly understand the words. But I did hear the song go, Pray, Pray, Pray. Pray, Pray, Pray. All the way down Wabash Avenue. The next time it came through, I did not understand the words at all. I don't know if it was Christian or rock or a rap or what, I did not know. But the mission field, Terre Haute, Indiana, came out and supported this cruise to Bash. And the lives that are at stake all up and down that road, we're so centrally focused on ourselves that I didn't even walk down and say anything. But in my mind, I'm thinking about it because I asked some ladies that were sitting with me the same question. One of them said, I'm taking me. I'm taking me. It's about me. Right? How many is that way? Yeah, I'm not going to let you in on the answer. We could go home right there. Because I think this pierces the heart. Because we have an all expenses paid. Nothing I had to do. Cost me absolutely nothing. Except I believe. Have you ever heard of the Son of Man? That's what Jesus asked him. Have you ever heard of the Son of Man? Have you guys ever heard of the name Jesus? I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe in me. Not me, him. Right? All you have to do is believe. Confess with your heart. Nah, so good. Cost me nothing. You know what it cost me? It cost me one thing. My old nature. It cost me my old nature. If you know me before, and you know me now, totally different than I was then. I was a good kid, right, Mom? Yeah, that's absolutely. Absolutely, I was a good kid. I could come home and be in the wrong state of mind. I was a good kid. Dad would say otherwise. You believe my dad. Integrity is a good thing. Integrity is a good thing. But here we are. All expenses paid. So centrally focused on ourselves and our families. I ask you this. Is your family saved? Does your family really get to go on vacation with you? Does your family really get to go? It's a tough question. Listen to this in Acts 1. Acts 1, I didn't give you the scripture, so you probably won't. Yeah, you did get there, didn't you? It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, though the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there before? You got to realize that their whole world was turned upside down. Their whole world, everything and their aspirations for what they were looking for, the future, was turned upside down. Jesus had just went to the cross, went into the grave, he's resurrected, and now for 40 days. He didn't even stay with them for 40 days. Around 11 times that he presented himself to the disciples, around 11 times. And you know what that was? Very intimate. I think the Aramaic says it this way, that he had meals with them. That he sat down and explained the kingdom of God. Could you imagine what that would have been like? Think of your worst possible moment. Think of the worst thing that you could ever go through. You're distraught, and it's like these emotions are like up and down. And Jesus comes in and sits down and said, remember all those things I told you about when I was with you? 3.5 years I walked with you and taught you. Now I'm going to give you the revelation of it all. I'm going to tell you about the kingdom. I'm going to tell you about the things that are coming. I'm going to tell you about the goodness of the Lord. And he began to sit and talk with them. It says he sat down in the Aramaic. Like I said, it said he sat down with a meal. That's very, very intimate. That's like going with your wife and looking at her in the eye and praying for her. Eyes open. You want to see intimacy? Stand before your wife. Look her in the eye. Begin to pray for her. You'll start to laugh at first. But then you begin to pray, and then they have to do it back to you. You want to see intimacy? This is the intimacy that the Christ had with his disciples. Okay? They needed 40 days. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's all kinds of 40 days in the Bible, right? But they needed 40 days to figure this out. They needed 40 days to get their head on straight. They needed all this time. And then it says they also needed this time to understand that Christ's kingdom was not political, but spiritual. He had to open their eyes because, see, they thought, right, we all know this, that they thought his kingdom was coming right now. They thought he was coming right now. They thought he was coming back to get rid of the Roman Empire, get rid of it all, set up his kingdom now. And Jesus was preparing them for what was to come. He needed to encourage his disciples so that they would tell the world about him. He needed to encourage them. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Jesus was saying, hey, there's more to come. I'm going to stand in this pulpit and tell you right now, there's more to come. What you're doing right now, there's more to come. There's more to come. There is more to come, I'm telling you. And Jesus is telling his disciples, there is more to come. There's going to be power coming. I wrote this down, and even as Jesus was telling the disciples that there is more to come, Be encouraged that Jesus said there is more to come. I'm telling you, there's more to come. Be encouraged today, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall baptize with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They probably had not had a clue. In the Aramaic, it insinuates that he said that you will be baptizing people in fire. That's what it insinuates in the Aramaic, how it's written. Verse 6, therefore, when he had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, they still haven't figured it out yet. Listen to me. They still haven't figured it out. They said, Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still hadn't got it yet. Okay? And this is what Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. He comes right back to it. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'm just going to talk a little bit longer, then we're going to close out. If you want to go back, and I've really been studying this, the way the church was in the beginning. Because we're doing it all wrong. Let me just tell you that right now. We're doing it the way the culture has moved the church. We're doing it all wrong. So I've been studying this stuff, and here's what I do know. The early church, Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the grave. He spent 40 days on the earth. Just crazy stuff going on. And he ascended to heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit, 10 days later, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into this upper room and baptizes these people in fire. Peter gets up and preaches a sermon. 3,000 lives come to know Christ at that moment. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that lives in you. Same Spirit that lives in you. But get this. The teaching was there's a second coming of Christ, okay? They're teaching this second coming of Christ. They were so anticipating on the second coming of Christ that it was coming now, not years from now. So they were not stagnant in their faith. They were not like, oh, you know, it don't matter 2,000 years from now. They had no clue 2,000 years from the time of his crucifixion. They had no clue that timeline. They just said, you know what? He is coming, and I'm going to tell everybody what Jesus is. He's coming back, and I'm going to tell the world, and that's what they did. We as a Western church, I don't know how it is in the Middle East, but we as a Western church are so stagnant in our beliefs, so stagnant in what we believe. Yeah, he's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back, Willie. There's a lost world out there. There's a lost world out there looking for a light in the darkness and in Terre Haute. A lost world, lost friends, lost co-workers, lost family, looking for the light. Now, I'm not telling you to Bible thump them. There's a thing called presence. There's a thing called integrity. There's a thing called lifestyle. There's a thing called flesh. If you want to act like the world, they'll never listen to you. You want to act like them? They'll never listen to you. You want to walk upright? You want to walk steadfast? Get on your face. Get humble before the Lord. And allow the power of God to move through you. But we think that we're going to beat people up with the scriptures that we don't even know ourselves. All we know is scriptures that say something and we beat them up with it. We don't even know the truth and character of the scriptures because God used the scriptures, yes, to allow us to read and understand and know his nature. And there's some things that he tells us that we should not do. It says, no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. It says, it is a fact. And no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's written in the word. It says that they were given over to their own debased mind. Not a salvation message. But it says, the word says they were given over to their own debased minds that they would chase after their own fleshly desires. The LBGT and all this community is only after the lust of their own desires. It's the lust of the flesh. If they would kill the flesh, all that stuff goes away. Do you live with an expectation of his return? They lived with this urgency. It's an urgency That man, I need to tell everyone that is friends with me. And then I need to tell the world that they went out in the streets. You know where salvation happened? It wasn't inside the church. It wasn't inside the synagogue. Salvation did not happen in here. It did not happen in this place. This place, or the synagogue, was a place, a gathering of the fellowship of believers of Christ. They already were believers that came into the synagogue. That's what's in here today. Okay? That's who's here today. You know what happened? People went out. Outside of those doors, and they went out and witnessed to people. You know what, my God? Let me tell you something. Who has a testimony from the tent? Anyone? A true testimony. I want life change testimony. Anyone? Okay. Here's what I do know. I go back to, you want to talk? Come up here. Stand up boldly. Come up here. They can see you just the same as that chair. You're just now facing them.
My hands tremored for over 30 years.
Turn me on, Austin.
My hands tremored for over 30 years, and I don't have tremors anymore.
Amen. Amen. So what are you doing about it? So this is what you do. It's not no man. There's no man in a tent. I'm just going to tell you. There's no man in a tent. There's no one in a pulpit. It's him. Okay? It's him. I am so joyful. I should be bouncing off the walls that I have trembled for 30 years. I have trembled for 30 years. You know that? I've trembled for 30 years, and I don't do it no more. This is the excitement and urgency that you should have. This is, if you really got healed, you really got set free, why do people that change their life for Christ, the first year of their life, they're telling everybody about him? And then the church settles them down. Where's the excitement and urgency about God has what he has done? Amen. So what happens is, now she's telling people, what happens is that they come into a church. They come into an organization or a community of believers that the fivefold ministry is functioning in the body of Christ. What happens in the fivefold ministry? You get encouraged. You get prophesied over, right? You get healed. You get taught. Teachers and pastors, right? This is what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. So I got a question for you. Question two. I already asked Tabitha. Just to see the reaction. If you were like a boiling teapot, or you put water in a teapot, right? You put it on a stove. What happens? It whistles when? Okay, here's the question. What's boiling in you? Huh? Well, yeah, what's boiling out of you? If you're the spout, of the teapot, what's boiling out of you? I'll ask Wes, what's boiling out of you? Steam? I love family. Tabby said, joy. I said, you should, really? Really? Joy is boiling out of you? It's like, come on. Come on. This is joy. Right? I'm just picking on. That is the answer, though. Joy. What's boiling out of you? What's coming out of your spout? Okay. So listen to this. If I put in water in this teapot, what comes out? It changes to steam, but it's water. So if this is the kettle, right? If this is the kettle, What are you pouring in? What are you pouring in? How do you go out into the world? How would I walk if Wabash Avenue was my mission field last night and I had nothing in the kettle? What am I going to boil out? What am I going to share with the world? Absolutely nothing. I can tell them all about the scriptures I know in my head. I can beat them with the Bible. But there's nothing coming out of me. There's nothing that excites me. There's nothing that turns someone on that says, oh man, I want what he has. I want to be there now. This is why the church is not growing in the United States of America. This is why the church across the United States of America is losing congregants and losing people. And this is why the faith is struggling. Because we are not showing the true nature of who God is and what he created this organism to be. There is a fivefold ministry in this building. Each one of you are gifted in one of the five. Just tell you the truth. Some of you might be gifted more. How are you using your giftings in this body of Christ? In this organization, organism, should I say, it's a living organism in this body. How are you using those things? If you do not fill yourself up with the Word of God, if you do not fill yourself, now I'm going to be studying something different than Alexa. I'm going to study something different than Tabitha. Something begins, love. Love has been in my kettle, right? It's been in my kettle for the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's sitting in there. Evangelism has been sitting there because that all evolves out of love. Everything that you do evolves out of love. See, you cannot prophesy out of anger. You cannot pray out of anger. You got to prophesy out of love. You got to pray out of love. You got to pray out of that place of love. And that's got to be sitting in the kettle. Everyone should have that love in their kettle ready to boil up. Why have you started to see me get excited here in the church? We're getting to worship. Why have you started to see that? Because something is rising up on the inside of me. Something's beginning to stir within me. My pot is getting ready to boil. I'm getting ready to release something inside of me that I've been placing inside of me. I've been allowing the Holy Spirit to set the fire to the kettle and allow it to pour out. How many are ready to get set fire and set fire to that kettle? You got to have something in it though. You got to have something in it. You got to put in the kettle something that you want to pour out. How does the word come alive in you if you don't read it? How does the word come alive? How does the relationship with Christ come alive that you can share that relationship with your enemy? How does it come alive? Because the spirit of love, the love of God that is inside of you, will resonate out of everything else you put in this kettle. If you have no love, don't give out the rest. Don't give nothing out if you don't have no love in the kettle. So the first thing you do is put love in the kettle. Learn what love is. Learn what the love of God is. He loved you so much while you were still a sinner that he sent his son into the earth to die for you. For the wages of sin is death, and we all have that wage against us. Gift of God is eternal life. And I accept the gift. I have accepted a gift and you've accepted a gift. Why are you not excited? I'm not saying why are you. I am saying why are you not. Okay? I'm just speaking out of my mouth. All right? Out of the issues, the heart will speak. When you place something in here, it will come out. And so we want to evangelize the world. Think of those two questions today. Who would you take with you if all expenses paid? Who would you take with you? Who would you ask? Who would you be so urgently to say, man, I'll tell you what. Everyone. Even if all you have, is your conversion. If you can go back to that place and time that you was converted and knowing Christ as your Savior and knowing that whatever you felt on the inside begin to change, and your life begin to change, and your habits begin to change, and you begin to kill the death, or you begin to kill the flesh over and over, and you begin to neglect those things that used to tie you or pull you in, and you begin to neglect those, and your life has changed. And you can go back to your high school days, and they would look at you and like, who are you? I know your face, but I don't know you. You look familiar, but I don't know you, like in John 9. They knew the parents and they knew him, but he did not look the same because he could see. His eyes were now open. And I'm telling you what, your eyes are now open to see that the world is lost. And they need people. They need the light of the world. Sonny opened up with that today. You are the light of the world. And everybody is looking at the church. And they're running from it. Because there's no power in it. There's no anointing in it. Every one of you have a gift. Begin to function in those gifts. Begin to find out that gift inside of you and begin to operate in those gifts. In Philippians 4:19 and 20, it says, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Jesus Christ. And God, our Father, will receive all the glory and the honor throughout eternities of eternities. Amen. That is the Passion Translation. So I'm going to act like the first church this morning. We're going to operate as they did. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to just be real quick. I shut it off. So here's what would happen in the first church. They would get up, they'd read scripture, they'd fellowship together. And the Bible tells us that anybody that had need, they would supply that need. So I'm going to ask you this morning, who has a need this morning? What's your need? The Bible says, call upon the elders of the church. Call upon the elders of the church. You know, it don't matter if you know who they are. I need the elders of the church to see me right now. That's what the Bible says. It's got to come out of your mouth. Jimmy McKenna, Jeff Glantz gone, Sonny, the elders of the church. Pray for healing right now.